Time now for Wisconsin Life. T. Krulos has been interested in the paranormal since he was a kid. Although he became more skeptical as an adult, his interest in those stories led him to the Paranormal Investigators of Milwaukee. In honor of Halloween, Krulos tells us about what he learned hunting for ghosts.
When I was younger, middle school, high school, I was just kind of this weird, nerdy punk rock kid. And so I've always just really had kind of a love and appreciation for groups of people that I think a lot of times are misunderstood. They're not seen as fitting into mainstream society exactly. And I mean, those are my people. So I love talking to them, hearing about what they're doing, and all about their own little worlds. I wanted to meet a group that I could meet over and over again and join on multiple investigations and get to know the members pretty well. And searched the internet and found this local group, Paranormal Investigators of Milwaukee. They are a ghost hunting group. They have been around since 2006. They're very well organized and very active. They do a lot of investigations here in the Milwaukee area. And pretty soon I was walking around in the dark with a flashlight, trying to find evidence of ghosts with them. Riverside Theater was my first investigation with Paranormal Investigators in Milwaukee. I wasn't sure what to expect, and so I learned some ghost hunting etiquette. Like, you need to kind of tag. If you make a noise in the dark, you need to say, "That was me." So you know that it was a person and not a ghost making the noise. They do these things called EVP sessions, where they kind of ask questions to any ghosts that might be present. So they'll say, "How long have you been here?" Or, "Can you tell us your first name?" And then in between those questions, you've got to leave like a 10-second gap so the ghost can respond. And hopefully, they're hoping to capture that on audio recorder. There's some groups that are more like psychic based, but the local group here is more of a scientific, trying to get video or audio recordings. I really learned that night that you'll creep yourself out really bad. So, for instance, I felt this cold air on the back of my neck, but I mean, the Riverside is a very big old building, so I'm sure it was not a ghost, but probably just a natural draft in the building. I also had kind of a funny moment where we were, there was a report of like a shadow figure moving by the men's room on the second floor. So we were sitting in the dark, and then all of a sudden I hear this shh sound, and it scared me because I thought it was a ghost. But actually it was one of those automatic air fresheners in the bathroom that like releases a blast of, you know, flower scented whatever every few seconds. So I did a good job of scaring myself that night. I don't think that we got any evidence of ghosts. The stereotype is really kind of bug-eyed, weird person wearing a tinfoil hat, you know. And I did encounter some of those people, for sure. But a lot of people are very, very normal. They have normal jobs. They're suburbanites, you know, teachers, scientists. And they just happen to have this hobby that's considered to be pretty unusual by mainstream standards, I would say.
Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. It's a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more online at wisconsinlife.org. Joining us now to talk more about the spooky side of Wisconsin is Chad Lewis, a paranormal researcher, author, and lecturer. Chad, welcome back to Central Time.
Happy October to you.
Well, I've talked to you before, and I don't know if I've ever asked you this question. How did you first get into stories of the paranormal?
I blame it on Wisconsin, because not only do we have the UFO capital of the world here, we have three different cities that claim to be the UFO capital of the world. So I happened to grow up near one of those cities and became interested in why people thought they were seeing UFOs.
And why did they think that?
Well, they thought they were seeing them, and they thought they were not only seeing them, but people were interacting with them in the town. Local police officer, local sheriff actually was struck by a bolt of light that smashed his car, and he woke up missing some time, and the car's electrical wires were fried out, and they believed it because so many credible people were seeing and reporting these things.
Well, it's Halloween. We tend not to think of aliens so much as we were hearing that Wisconsin Life piece. Ghost stories. What are some of the best known ghost sites and stories around the state, Chad?
Well, you can't throw a rock without hitting a haunted place in Wisconsin. They're everywhere. And one of my favorites is a small little town outside of Menominee, Wisconsin called Carryville. Even the name's kind of creepy. And it's this small little place where so many things happen within a mile radius. You have a haunted church, a haunted school, a haunted road, a graveyard, a boat landing. And many of the ghosts are a former priest that is said to be hanging in the tower of the old building. Some see a little kid in the old schoolhouse that was said to have been frozen to death on one dark, cold Wisconsin night. So a lot of people go here, especially this time of the year, and many of them end up with a ghost story. Some of them end up with a trespassing ticket.
I was going to ask about that. If people want to actually visit these sites, research them, do the typical from the movies and Scooby-Doo, spend the night in the haunted site, what's the right way to do it to not end up with that trespassing ticket?
A lot of the places that I talk about and write about are open to the public. Even cemeteries are open from light to light. They close officially at dark. But people can get permission to be in these places. Oftentimes, people forego that and just take their chances. But a lot of these places are open to the public. They have no closing time. Other than that, if you want to stay there, most places will let you if you just ask.
And have you spent a lot of time, maybe at night, maybe in some of the spookier haunted houses around the state?
There are places I don't like to go. People always ask if I get scared at these places. And I say that if you're not getting scared there, you're not trying hard enough. That many of these places are just downright creepy. They're in the middle of nowhere. They have that atmosphere you would think of a haunted place, that they should be haunted by all accounts.
Talking to Chad Lewis about paranormal spaces and places here in Wisconsin. He researches and writes about and lectures about the paranormal here in Wisconsin as we run up to Halloween here. Chad, do you do, in that Wisconsin Life piece, we heard about the paranormal investigators of Milwaukee. They've got gear. They're trying to record some kind of evidence of the supernatural. Do you do that sort of thing? And if so, what kind of tools do you use?
Yes, I used to bring a lot of equipment, whether it was cameras, night vision recording, motion detectors, electronic or magnetic fluctuation readers called EMFs, voice recorders, motion detectors. But what I found over the years is that I would spend most of the time setting up, monitoring, and breaking down this equipment. So most of the time, although my colleagues have a lot of equipment with us, I'm out there with nothing more than a camera and a notebook that I noticed I was missing the legend that I was out there and people talking about getting pushed off the haunted mausoleum and that I was too busy looking at equipment to enjoy the dares and the legends associated with it. So I'm out there a lot of times with little to no equipment outside of just some mainstay things.
So for believers and skeptics alike, Chad, how important are these legends as a part of Wisconsin's culture?
Well, all these legends that are non-Native American legends were brought over from our ancestors, the werewolves, the vampires, the ghosts, the hauntings, the banshees, you name it, the little people, the wee folk, all of these, and they're a continuation. And even if people don't believe in these stories, this time of year, they're fascinated by them. And one of the favorite things I love to do is monitor how these stories progress and move over the years. When I talk to seniors who remember back as kids hearing one version of the story, and then you talk to teenagers, they have a completely different version of the same story because it has changed over the years.
That's interesting how the folk stories are being passed down from generation to generation still. And we think, you know, folk stories, folk customs are a thing of the past, but you see them still alive and well today.
Yes, a lot of younger people take these as almost a rite of passage, that we don't have that in America anymore, that they can go out to these places and test their bravery among their peers, and almost as a rite of passage into adulthood, that they can show that nothing scares them. And whether that's wise or not, I don't know, but it's continuing on.
If somebody wanted to celebrate maybe this Halloween week, what are some good sites, as you say, open to the public maybe, or easy to get permission to see, that you recommend people check out?
Yes, if you're in western Wisconsin, you may want to go to Mary of Elk Lake Dam. This woman who was murdered in 1974 haunts this secluded dam. If you're down where the Wisconsin Life was in Milwaukee, you may want to stay at the Ambassador Hotel. Jeffrey Dahmer, who many of your listeners will recognize that name, he had some events, let's just leave it at that, at the Ambassador, and they're thought to be haunted. You may want to go up to the remains of Summerwind, way in the north of Wisconsin, where previous owners were so afraid of the ghosts, they shot up their house with their weapons, trying to get rid of them.
And so where does Chad Lewis spend Halloween itself?
I will be at one of the first haunted places I ever investigated near Eau Claire, my hometown, 20-odd years ago, and I made it a tradition to go out there every night looking for this spirit on Halloween, when many people believe the veil between worlds is at its thinnest.
And I got to ask, do you dress up for Halloween, Chad?
Oh, yes, I have to dress up. You cannot celebrate Wisconsin Halloween without dressing up.
What's your costume?
Well, I'm going to make my good friend and colleague Linda Godfrey very happy right now. I'm dressing up this year as a werewolf.
All right. We'll watch for the werewolf near Eau Claire this year. Chad, thanks a lot for joining us.
Hey, keep an eye out.
All right. That's Chad Lewis, paranormal researcher, author, and lecturer. You can find out more about his work and about Wisconsin legends on his website. It's unexplainedresearch.com.